Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the Opel Commercial Vehicles range. We have your van.
Well, there's just 4 days to go until Election Day in the United States, and while the polls show Joe Biden with a commanding lead over Donald Trump, it's doubtful that we'll get a result that night, and both teams are preparing armies of lawyers to litigate the result right up to the Supreme Court if they have to. Which brings the spectre of the Bush-Gore contested election 20 years ago back into focus. Did it establish a blueprint for both sides on how to win an election when you don't necessarily have the votes? Joining me on the line now are Charlie Spies, a Republican lawyer and commentator based in Washington, and Mark Little, CEO of Kinsen, former RT Washington correspondent who covered that election. Good morning to both of you. Mark, great to talk to you again. It's been a long time. Take us back to election night 2000. I think it was as early as 8 o'clock in the evening when NBC was the first network to predict that Gore would take Florida's 25 electoral college votes.
And then it just flipped and it flopped. And there was this mounting sense of panic. I have this, I suppose when I look back in that election, there's an element of post-traumatic stress disorder. I remember frantically at about 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, Irish time, trying to work out what the hell was going on, approaching Morning Ireland to be able to tell people definitively who had woken up that morning going, right, who won? And not only do we not know who won, but we were in a position where we were going to enter into, we didn't know it then, weeks and months. And words like hanging Chad would enter into our lexicon. And I became such an expert at the ins and outs of the legal process. But looking back to an extent, you know, trying to block all of that out, suddenly looking at a place like Pennsylvania, not just Florida, but the capacity now for the extra things that were missing back then, large amounts of postal votes, for example, there's so much more capacity for something to happen this time around that not just about a couple of well-mannered lawyers having a row inside a courtroom, you know, in Florida. There's something more dangerous that's potential here. So, you know, for me, the two headlines are, number one, it is still most likely that Joe Biden wins by a landslide, I think. If Florida declares for Biden on the night itself, maybe about 3-4 in the morning Irish time, we'd see, then it's all over. But there's a second scenario, and that scenario has a multiple layer of scenarios beneath it, which give huge cause for concern.
Charlie Spies, is the big lesson from what happened on that night that neither side should make that phone call of concession to the other, no matter how bad it looks for them? Because that really put Al Gore on the back foot, didn't it?
It did put him on the back foot perception-wise, but as Mark said, a likely scenario is that the election is not close enough that one state is going to make the difference. And so the situation with Bush v. Gore in 2000 was really because you had one state where the results of that state were going to determine the election. There is this year a lot of concern across states because of increased mail voting and also some legal challenges to how those votes are counted and what the rules will be. But the chances of it all coming down to one state are, I believe, still unlikely. That being said, the Trump path to victory is Mark's right, he's got to win Florida. But it's going to come down to some Midwestern states like Pennsylvania and Michigan. And if President Trump can win those, he's in good shape again. And those votes they're going to take a while to count them. And that doesn't mean that there's a problem. And it doesn't mean that, you know, anybody did anything wrong or that the system isn't working. It just means that they've got to count a overwhelming amount of mail-in votes, which they've never done before. And for example, the Secretary of State in Michigan has said that she expects it to take until Friday the 6th to have unofficial results of counting. And Pennsylvania's Secretary of the Commonwealth has said the same thing, to plan on it taking until Friday. So if it's close enough that those states are going to determine things, then it could be Friday before we get that first tally. But again, that doesn't mean anybody's done anything wrong or there's problems. It just means that's the system working.
Let's go back to 2000 again, Mark. Do you remember much about what became known as the Brooks Brothers riot, when there was a lot of Republican activists turned up outside one particular attempted recount in Florida, which was abandoned?
Yeah, I mean, I was there, you know, outside that venue, and it, you know, there was a circus atmosphere too. To be honest, there was definitely a sense of after the election, which, remember, Bush and Gore was very close, very hotly contested. So there was an exhaustion factor for all of those party activists. Anyway, then they get out of Florida, and as you say, they're having these sort of like catfights through the glass. And I remember there was just a sense of, we have never been here before. This time around, as Charlie said, there's so many extra factors that complicate this. It's not just about one state. I think what's very interesting, Charlie points to this, we could have a scenario where, because of the way the votes are counted in the Sunbelt states, that is like places like Arizona, which, you know, Biden's going to get probably, Florida probably, we're going to get all the early votes counted immediately. So you're going to see this kind of very impressive Biden lead in these states across the sort of the Sunbelt of America. Problem is, in the places Charlie mentions, like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, they only count that night, or they only have the count for the people who voted that day. Now, they will be predominantly the Trump voters. So you could have a scenario where in Pennsylvania, Trump has on the night itself, in the first declarations, possibly a double-digit lead, and everyone's going, wow, he's going to win Pennsylvania. But then over the coming days, you'll start to see Biden pick up his votes. So there's going to be a bizarre scenario where Biden could outperform in the Sun Belt. And in places like the Midwestern states that Charlie's identified, it will be days of slow, you know, gradual tide turning back to Biden. So it's going to be absolutely unprecedented.
Charlie Spies, the reason that I mentioned the Brooks Brothers riot from 2000, where you had several hundred, I think it was, chino-clad and button-down shirt-wearing preppies chanting voter fraud outside that count centre, was that it was the first time that Republicans used the allegation of voter fraud without substance, it would appear. But that has now become very central to Donald Trump's tactic in undermining this election, hasn't it?
I respectfully don't think that's a fair characterization. That came just 2 years later than the Louisiana elections in 1998, where there was a massive investigation into Senator Mary Landrieu's victory and voter fraud issues. So there has been a history of that in America, and both sides over the past probably two decades have stuck to a script of Republicans being concerned about voter fraud, which is a serious problem. It is just isolated and usually individual people that making mistakes or impacting a few votes, not systemic in a way that's likely to impact a presidential election. On the other hand, Democrats over the past few decades have worked hard to make it very easy to vote with no identification provisions and no sort of controls in place at all. So this is a long-running debate.
Mark, is there any evidence that voter fraud is as big a problem as Donald Trump suggests it is?
I think in terms of fraud, the word fraud, I just don't think there's evidence to suggest that. I think there's been negligence in, for example, yesterday there's reports that they've lost, you know, ballots that were sent out to electors. Again, negligence. But where it's been operating for longest, it works perfectly. Colorado, I think 98% of people in Colorado post in their ballots. There was 9 recorded cases of fraud there last year. I think that the reality, and Charlie's right to say this, I mean, we're entering into a period where more than 80 million people, which will be probably over half of the total voters, have already voted. So the capacity for negligence is quite significant. The problem is, it's not about reality, it's about perception. I don't worry about the people in the chinos and the Brooks Brothers clothes this time around. I worry about the people in the Fred Perry shirts, the militias, the Proud Boys, who pick upon a contest, which is all about perception, not reality, and say the election has been stolen. And that's where we have another unprecedented element to all of this, is that we could have a scenario where Biden still is the most likely victor, but there's enough perception of fraud for these folks, these people with the arm lights, to turn up outside of those courtrooms and create the kind of disorder that we probably haven't seen, even given this last 8 months of protests in the streets of the United States, where we're back in a scenario like 1968, where we have a divided country, and in the middle, there are people who want to make political capital out of uncertainty. So I think that's, for me, and again, we're going way down a rabbit hole here into a bad scenario. But if anything, if you look back a year, you told everybody would be in a scenario like this with COVID, with the election the way it is, with Biden as the candidate, no one would have believed you. So unprecedented scenarios are no longer unprecedented, certainly not this year.
Absolutely. Charlie Spees, is that something that you worry about, that the presence of you and your colleagues at a count, just the very image of lawyers walking in the front door, could actually have quite serious consequences of the kind that Mark is talking about?
Absolutely not. Nobody should be worried about lawyers in suits participating as poll watchers through the system. And Mark's presentation was a tad bit one-sided. Remember that that Democrats, this was on 60 Minutes last week, Bob Bauer, or on Axios perhaps, on HBO, but they said they're deploying tens of thousands of lawyers to the polls. And they're doing the exact same thing that the Republicans are doing. And in terms of President Trump's claims, please remember that at this same time 4 years ago, it was in late September, President Trump was saying the same thing about, well, if I lose, it's only because of vote fraud. And the Democratic lawyers, Hillary Clinton's lawyer, Mark Elias, said this is outrageous. We have to accept the system. We have to go with the results. A lot of people like me went along with that, and we said, trust the system. And then lo and behold, Donald Trump surprisingly wins, and it's the Democrats claiming that the election wasn't legitimate. And, 2 years later, Hillary Clinton is still out there saying that it wasn't a legitimate vote in Wisconsin. And after the election, they had lawsuits around America, usually under the pretext of it being Jill Stein, a third party candidate, but was Hillary Clinton's lawyers that were doing these lawsuits to challenge the results. So this is not, I promise you, this is not a one-sided thing. Both sides use the same tactics and are prepared to fight to the end for any advantage they can get.
Absolutely. And Mark Little, would that be one of the most enduring lessons from the 2000 election, that both sides will need lots of lawyers in lots of different places?
Yeah, and listen, Charlie, and I want to make clear here, Charlie's quite right. If the shoe's on the other foot, the Democrats will be sending the plane loads of lawyers out of Washington National Airport. There's no doubt about that. So there's no one saying that the fact that there'll be Republican lawyers en masse going wherever there's a contest is in any way an incitement. It's not. They've got to do that. But the very fact that there's got to be armies of lawyers points to a wider problem. I think for most Democrats, when they look back at 2016, aside from, potentially people who might identify with Wisconsin, the real problem was not fraud, but that there was a quirk in the system that gave Hillary Clinton almost 3 million votes more than Trump, and yet Trump is elected. Now, the Electoral College, for good or for bad, is the reason for that. There's multiple layers, I think, of glitches within the system that require lawyers to be present. And I think that's the fundamental long-term problem we have, is that American democracy is riven by things that might have made sense after the Civil War, when the states needed to have a level of independence, that don't make sense anymore. It's also riven by so many different types of voting systems. As I say, Colorado is so radically different to Pennsylvania. We've got scenarios in where people are queuing up for hours outside polling stations in the democracy that we held up as the model for the rest of the world. So I think, let's be very clear here. We're not accusing the Republicans of any sort of biased action. But what we're saying is the fact that lawyers are necessary in such large numbers, there's so much leeway here, points to fundamental problems From a democratic perspective, if you're an outsider looking in with great admiration, as I do, for the American ideal, there's something wrong here, whether you're Republican or Democrat. So, you know, there's no bias here in terms of saying, you know, Republicans are way more sinister in what they're trying to do. But what we've seen is there are other forces in American society that will capitalize on the weaknesses, weaponize the weaknesses of American democracy right now. And that's my fear.
Indeed, because the American Constitution does open famously with the words, "We the people and not we the lawyers." Mark Little, thank you very much. And Charlie Spees, Republican lawyer and commentator, thank you also.